Open your Bibles with me to Isaiah 40. While you're turning there, got a text from our pastor about noon today. He woke up this morning thinking they might have a cancellation and they might perform his procedure, that they might do surgery today. And around, I think, sometime before lunch or around lunchtime, they told him they were discharging him. So he'll be coming home the 10th. He has a follow-up appointment on the 10th. So hopefully find out more then. So I think they're quite discouraged. Hoping this would happen today. But continue to keep him and Janet in our prayers. And Frank had mentioned that right now he's just really not up for company at this point in time. But I do know he enjoys receiving texts and encouragement. So continue to do that. Our young adult Bible school will be this weekend. We're going to have that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 7. And that will be for this year's graduates through age 30. So that rules a lot of you out. But our Bible school for our teenagers, we haven't completely given up hope on that yet. Maybe if school gets delayed a little bit more, we'll be able to do that as well. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because of the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We'll end our reading there. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to once again gather together as a people. Lord, we pray you would bless us with your presence here this evening. Lord, take thy word, and Lord, bless it to our hearts. Lord, bless us to see more of our Savior, more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us to know him who is life eternal. Lord, we pray for those of our number who are in a time of trouble and difficulty. Lord, we pray especially for our pastor that you would comfort him and strengthen him in this time of difficulty. Lord, that you would give him some relief from this pain. Lord, we thank you for your mercies towards us. But we confess we're not worthy of the least of thy mercies, the least of thy goodness. Lord, forgive us when we murmur, forgive us when we complain and find fault. Lord, cause us to be thankful. Give us thankful hearts, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, we pray you would bless us here this evening. Bless us with your presence. Set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Let us see Christ. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the white declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Well, wouldn't we do well to remember that? This is our Father's world. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I want us to look at just a few verses of Scripture from this passage here this evening. Look beginning with in verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I'd like to take the title of our message this evening from that those two words, fear not. You know, I can't think of a time in my lifetime in which I have seen, and I've not seen much, But so much division, not just in our country, but in, it seems like, in the world as a whole. So much disregard for authority, those in authority. So much rebellion, so much turmoil. It just seems to be commonplace in our day. We're in a worldwide pandemic. There's riots. Seems like taking place all the time. And not just in places. There's things on the news that we see riots. You think, well, there's riots there all the time. But then so many places now that are typically just peaceful places. And our kids are out of school. Folks are out of work. I guess we could just go on and on, but it seems to me like what might be described as perilous times, which we read about in God's Word. Paul writing, turn to 2 Timothy. Hold your place there, but turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3 and verse 1. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, not giving God the glory due to his name, disobedient to parents, not just parents, but despising authority in general, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, leaving the natural use of the man and woman, truce breakers, contracts, agreements, they mean nothing. I guess that's why 7 lawyers have to sign off on it. The bond of marriage seems to mean nothing. False accusers, those who would slander and gossip and tell just outright lies about others. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of that which is good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Can't we see that form of godliness in our time? I mean, how many places did you drive by this evening on your way here of people meeting together, parking lots full of cars, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, saying things like God wants to, but he can't unless you let him. A form. They go through the rituals and the motions and the stained windows and all those things, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He says, from such, turn away. Have nothing to do with them. Well, isn't that a commentary on our day? Doesn't that describe our day? And though it's a time of uncertainty for us, it's not a time of uncertainty for our God. He orders and directs all things. But nonetheless, it is a time of trouble for his people, a time of difficulty, a time of fear. And maybe we ask ourselves, well, what do we do about this? What am I to do? Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you've spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, now this is the Lord speak. He said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Our Lord said, be afraid. Be afraid of him that can kill the body and have power to cast your soul into hell. But be not afraid. Don't be afraid of those that can kill the body, and that's all they can do. That's the worst. That's the worst they can do. Be not afraid of them. There's two different things there. Be afraid of him, but he says, be not afraid of them. Be not afraid of sickness, of disease, whatever it might be. Be not afraid of them. And back here in Isaiah 43, we read, fear not. Fear not. Thus saith the Lord. This is God speaking. God who speaks truth. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. His promises. What God says is sure and certain. Over in Numbers we read, God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make good on it? What he says he'll do, he'll do. Thus saith the Lord, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't fear the things of this world. Sin, death, judgment, whatever it might be. Don't fear. And I believe in this passage of Scripture, there's probably more, but I see six reasons to not fear. Six things I believe that should bring us, give us great comfort. The first is this, who he's speaking to. Look here at who he's speaking to. Now listen, there are those who have reason to fear. There are those who should fear. But he says, not Jacob, not Israel. Fear not, Jacob. Fear not, Israel. Here he speaks to his church. Jacob, does that not speak to our fallen nature, our sinful nature? Jacob, supplanter, thief. But listen, the Scriptures declare that God loved Jacob. God chose Jacob. God gave Jacob the birthright. God gave him a new name. He said, your name's not going to be Jacob anymore. It's going to be Israel. Prince of God. Prince of God. True Israel. Here he speaks of God's elect, of his church, of his sheep. And he tells them, fear not. To the church, fear not. Second, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've redeemed thee. Those that he purchased. That's what that word redeem means, to purchase or to buy back. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That redemption is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's He that paid the redemption price. Brother Walter Groover, I remember Henry telling this story, and I've heard several of God's preachers tell this story about that little boy down there in the Yucatan. Him and his father had made a beautiful kite. Don't know how much time, but they had built this kite, and one day it was windy enough to take that kite out and fly. So he went and tied some string to that kite, and that wind grabbed it and just took it further up in the air and further up in the air until finally that string broke. And that little boy's kite flew away. Lost. Lost his kite. And in a few days, they were walking through town. I don't know if it was a flea market or a little store, but they saw that kite. That little boy saw his kite. He said, "Dad, there's my kite. There's my kite. I'm going to go get it." And he went into the store, and he found the owner, and he said, "I want my kite." And he said, "Son, that's not your kite." He said, "That's my kite." He said, "No. No, that kite was lost, and I found it. It's my kite. And if you want it, here's the price. The price must be paid." And the little boy's father reached into his pocket, and he gave him a little bit of money to buy that kite back. He said when he paid for that kite, he took it and he held it in his arms and he said, "You're mine. You're mine twice. I made you and I bought you." The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed his people. That kite, there's only one way he got that kite back. The price had to be paid for it. The redemption price had to be paid. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid the redemption price of His people. He bought us back. Fear not. Fear not, O Israel. Fear not, Jacob. I have redeemed you. I have made you and I have bought you back. You know, something tells me That little boy probably still has that kite. If he's still alive, he probably still has that kite somewhere. In Revelation 5:9, speaking of our Lord, it says, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us." Thou hast bought us back. Thou hast purchased us, redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Without paying the redemption price, again, that kite's not his, is it? Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, He paid the redemption price for His people. Redeemed, how I love that song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Fear not. In Psalm 130, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with Him," with the Lord, "there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption." Fear not, I have redeemed thee. Third, look back there in Isaiah 43, He said, "I've called thee by thy name." The scriptures declare that whom He predestinated, them He called. He called us to Christ by the Spirit of God. He called us out of tradition and ceremony and self-righteousness. Called out of sin into the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world and called by His grace. Paul writing to the Galatians, he said, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to do what? to reveal His Son in me. We're called by His grace, not according to our works. He didn't leave us to ourselves, did He? Aren't we thankful that He did not leave us to ourselves? That He didn't leave us in our sin and shame and despair and guilt? But no, He called us to Himself. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse 9 of Matthew 9. There was a publican named Levi. We know him as Matthew, and he was sitting at the receipt of custom. These publicans, we know they were despised by their countrymen. They were tax collectors. And look at verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him two words, "Follow me." And Matthew, what did he do? He arose and he followed him. He called Matthew. Matthew, a publican, a sinner. We read that our Lord saw him. He foreknew him. God speaking to Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I was with thee. I knew thee. And before thou camest forth from the womb, I sanctified thee." He foreknew his people. He saw a man named Matthew. This is a particular man. The old writers say this was a house of custom where there were many people there. But we only read of one that the Lord called. Matthew. He saw Matthew and he said to him, "Follow me." This man named Matthew, whose name, he's appropriately named, isn't he? His name means gift of God. Gift of God. There's no indication he'd ever heard of Christ. He had no good works to he was a publican. He had no good works to present himself to the Lord. His occupation, he was a publican. Huh? His sin did not stop the Lord from calling him. Shouldn't that be an encouragement to us all? His sin did not stop the Lord from calling him. And the Lord called him in power. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." He didn't walk up to him and whisper in his ear, "Matthew, would you like to follow me?" That's what men say in our time, isn't it? He didn't say, "Matthew, if you'll just take the first step, I'll carry you the rest of the way." No, he spoke in power. He said, "Matthew, follow me." A powerful call, a life-giving call, an effectual call, an irresistible call. You see that? Matthew, what did Matthew do? Matthew arose and he followed him. And he calls us by name. He says that in Isaiah 43, "I have called thee by thy name." And we see it throughout the scriptures, don't we? Remember Lazarus? There Lazarus lay in the grave. His body stank. He'd been there so long. "Lazarus, come forth." He that was dead came forth. Zacchaeus, our Lord's passing through, comes to the place. He looks up. Zacchaeus is just there for the show. But the Lord calls him in power. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down." Zacchaeus came down, didn't he? Huh? He calleth his own sheep by name. And listen, we're told to walk worthy of that calling. We're to walk in a manner of life that's worthy of that holy calling. We're of this world, or we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Fear not. Fear not, I have called thee. Listen. Fear not. His people. He's speaking to his people. He said, "I've redeemed you. I've called you by name." And then forth he says, "Thou art mine." We're His. Turn over to John chapter 17. Look at verse 9 of John 17. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Those that the Father gave him, those for whom Christ died, those who are kept by the power of God. We're His workmanship. That's how we're described. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. His people, the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 100, verse 3. Let me read this to you. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. His people by creation. His people by redemption. And as His, we're kept by Him. We're kept by the power of God, safe and secure in His hands. Our Lord, speaking in John 10, He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Safe and secure in His hand. I had an uncle when I was a kid. He'd put a quarter in his hand, and he'd always say, you get it out, it's yours. And we'd all try. I mean, we would all try it and never could. And I'm convinced to this day, if I'd had a crowbar, I couldn't have pried his hand open to get that quarter. And I think if a man can hold on to something that tight, and we do, there's a lot of things we hold on to, aren't there? In God's hands? How safe and secure are His people in His hands? He said, No man will pluck them out of my hand. No man will pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that a reason not to fear? Isn't that a good thing to be reminded of, that we're in His hands? Back in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had refused to bow down to that idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the king had told him, he said, I'm going to give you a second chance. He said, when you hear the music playing, when you hear the psaltery and the sackbut and all those instruments, he said, you bow down. And if you do, well, it'll be well for you. It'll be a good thing for you. But if you don't, oh, it's not going to be well for you. If not, he said, I'm going to cast you into that fiery furnace. And he listened to what he said. This is what he said. This is what he said to these men. He said, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? A man said that. Who's the God that will deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we don't need to think about this. We're not careful to answer you, O king. If it be so, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And listen, O king, He will deliver us out of your hand. My friends, we're not in man's hands. We probably get that in our heads at times, but we're not in man's hands. We're in His hands. You know, I was thinking about this. I know in Kentucky, folks in Kentucky get worked up about what the governor's saying, and folks in Ohio get worked up about what the governor's saying, and we get worked up about what the president's saying. And listen, how quickly we forget these men are in his hands too. What does the scripture say? It says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he turneth whithersoever he will. These men in authority, God's put them there. There's no authority but that of God. We're his clay. We're his clay. And he will do with us what he will. Over there in Exodus, think about old Pharaoh. You know, I would have to think the children of Israel, there wasn't a day they went home from work that they weren't wound up about what old Pharaoh was doing. What did God say about Pharaoh? He said this. He said, "For this cause have I raised thee up." For what reason? To make you miserable? To give you reasons to complain? No, he said, "I did this to make my power known." That's why God raised a man up like Pharaoh. That my name, listen, "to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." God's got a purpose in these things. God's got a reason in these things. And I think our problem is, I don't think, I know this is it. We often get in our heads that this is all about us. It's all about me. And it's not. It's about him. It's all about him. And we are in, again, we're in his hands. He said, "Thou art mine." Let's take comfort in that. Huh? "Thou art mine." Let's read on. Back to Isaiah 43, verse 2. He said, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee." Not if you pass through the waters. When you pass through the waters. There are going to be times of trouble. And the religion of this world would say this: you're sick or poor because your faith isn't great enough. Isn't that what religion tells man? Huh? If you'd have more faith, you wouldn't be sick, or you'd be healed from this sickness if you just had more faith. What this scripture says here goes all against this health and wealth religion that's prominent in our day. If that were the case, it would say something like this: if you have enough faith, you won't have to pass through the waters. That's not what it says, does it? It says when you pass through the waters. And in his time, God's going to strip these things away from us. He's going to wean us from this world and teach us to rest in him, to get us away from this arm of flesh that we're so quick to lean on. And listen, whatever the trouble, whatever the sickness, whatever the sorrow that may come our way, he says this: "I'm with thee. I'm with thee." He's ever near his people. How about when we walk through the fire? He says, when you walk through the fire, temptation, persecution, fiery trials that come our way, he says, "You'll not be burned. The flame will not kindle upon you. You'll not be consumed by the fire." Turn to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, beginning with verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." How is it? How is it that bush did not burn? What a great sight that must have been, but how is it that that bush did not burn? How is it that that flame wasn't kindled upon? Here a few weeks ago, somebody drove by our house and threw out, I guess, a cigarette or something, and it caught the whole, just one little spark, caught the whole hillside on fire. How is it that bush was not burned? Look at verse 4 of Exodus 3. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. How is it that bush didn't burn? God was in that bush. And what's our hope? Christ, what's the scripture? Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you walk through the fire, no flame shall kindle upon you. You know, back there in Daniel, that King Nebuchadnezzar, again, he threw those men into that burning, fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And at some point, the king looked down into that furnace. Wasn't there three men? Wasn't there three men cast into that furnace? And he said this. He said, I see four men. Now I see four men. One of them like the Son of God. And we read of those three men that the flame wasn't kept, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them when they come out of that furnace. God is with his people. He said they're loose, walking in the midst of that fire. We're his, aren't we? We rest in that we are his. Here's my fifth reason. Turn back to Isaiah 43. Look at verse 3. Reason not to fear? He said, I am the Lord thy God. Thy God. In verse 2 we read, Thou art mine. I'm his. Think about that. We're his. And then here in verse 3, he said, I am the Lord thy God. He's mine. I'm his, and he is mine. Isn't that what that hymn says? Huh? I am his, and he is mine. Forever, his forever, only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? Oh, what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee. Firstborn light and gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am his. He is mine. Let's read on in our text. He said, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. That's what he says of his people. Thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable. I've loved thee. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. What did he give? What did he give for his? He gave his only begotten Son for his people. We read, He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then sixth, a reason not to fear. Look at verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. Our Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture. We'll close. Look over to Exodus chapter 14. Now, the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, and Pharaoh had pursued after them. And when the children of Israel, we read, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw the Egyptians marching after them. This army of the Egyptians chasing after them. I just bet they think like I do, like we do. When they saw that army coming, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Look at verse 10 of Exodus. Here we read that when the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. They were scared to death. And the children of Israel cried out against the Lord. They were sore afraid. They were exceeding afraid. They were greatly afraid. Fear of the enemy. Fear of what surrounded them. No doubt fear of their own inability to do anything about it. Look at verse 13. And Moses said to the people, this is what he spoke to them. He said, "Fear ye not. Don't be afraid." What do we do, Moses? "Fear ye not. Stand still." Don't do anything. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. You shall rest in him. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you." And what happened? What happened? God delivered his people, didn't he? Huh? The enemy, not only did he deliver the people, he conquered the enemy. He completely conquered the enemy. Isn't that what he did for his people on the cross? When he suffered, when he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross, he conquered the enemy. He crushed Satan's head, and he delivered his people. How else could he cry, "It's finished"? That was his words. It's finished. It's salvation is accomplished. So let me ask you this. Why would we fear? Why would we ever? We will. But why would we ever fear knowing that God is with us? He told his disciples, and listen, not just, he's not a fair weather friend. He told his disciples, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Oh, I pray that he would enable us to not be fearful, to just rest in him, to rest in his grace, to rest in his mercy, to rest in knowing this, that he doeth all things well. All right. Let's go to our Lord. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day again. We thank you for this, thy word. Lord, forgive us our fears and our doubts. Lord, cause us to rest in thee, to truly rest in thee. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that salvation is of the Lord. Bless your word. Bless it to our hearts. I pray thee for Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.